This week, we're doing something a little bit different. My sister Stephanie is on vacation, so you just have me, Dr. Alicia Rowland. I'm the pediatrician of the duo, and more importantly, I'm the younger and taller of the sisters. I wanted to do a little bit of a mini episode with some updates about bird flu. There have been some important developments in bird flu since our episode aired a few weeks ago. If you haven't heard our initial episode on bird flu called H5N What, published on December 31st, I recommend pausing here and listening to the episode first to get a broad overview on bird flu and why we're concerned. As a quick summary, bird flu, also known as avian influenza or H5N1, is a strain of the influenza virus, or the flu as it's commonly known, that has been affecting millions of birds across the U.S. for the past few years. It's predominantly been an issue in poultry, but over the past year, we've been seeing more wild birds and cattle now being affected, including over 900 cattle herds in nearly 20 states. California has been hit particularly hard, and the state recently declared a public health emergency. While bird flu predominantly affects birds, concerns have been increasing as we start to see some animal-to-human transmission, particularly in dairy and poultry farm workers. There have been less than 100 human cases in the U.S., none of which have been spread from person to person. They've all come from direct contact with animals. But scientists and public health officials are worried about the potential for mutations leading to a more easily spreadable infection. Say, if one person is affected with both bird flu and the regular flu, which is currently raging, at the same time, those two strains could merge and mutate and lead to a bird flu that can spread from person to person as easily as the traditional flu can. Why this matters is that only a small change or a small mutation can lead to a much more deadly and spreadable virus. It's really hard to know or to predict the future, but the concern is that the mortality of bird flu is higher than the traditional flu that we're used to, and so a more easily spreadable bird flu could lead to a very serious and potentially highly fatal outbreak. The good news is that it hasn't happened yet. Bird flu has been around for a long time. The first human case was recorded in 1997, and we haven't had a widespread outbreak of bird flu. We haven't had human-to-human transmission in that whole entire time period. The more concerning part is that we've been seeing a lot of rapid change, rapid evolution in the virus over the past few years. And that brings me to my first update, which is about some rapid change we've been seeing over the past few weeks. Earlier this month, we unfortunately had the first human death from bird flu. A patient in Louisiana became infected last month after exposure to a backyard flock of birds and some wild birds. The patient was hospitalized with severe disease, and on January 6th, the CDC announced their death. The patient was older than 65 and had some chronic medical conditions, so overall they were at higher risk of serious complications and at higher risk of death from the flu. But what was particularly concerning about this case is that the CDC reported that the patient's viral samples carried some mutations that might make the virus more easily spread from person to person. They tested the virus samples from the patient and from the birds that the patient was infected from, and these mutations were not present in the samples from the birds, which suggests that these mutations occurred in the patient as their illness progressed. Similar mutations were found in a different patient in Canada. Her viral samples also had similar mutations, and both of these mutations seem like it's making the virus easier to spread from person to person. Given that it currently is the traditional flu season, the concern of a patient being affected with both types of flu at the same time is high, and these mutations that we're already seeing are concerning. So that's our first update, update number one, the first human death, and some of the first concerning mutations that we've seen. Our second update today is about pets. Multiple indoor cats have tested positive for bird flu, and some of which have died. Earlier, we were seeing infections in outdoor cats and in big cats like tigers and zoo animals. And this makes more sense because they spend more time outside, they spend more time with wildlife, they hunt birds. However, recently we've actually seen a small number of indoor cats that have been infected, cats that don't spend any time outside. These infections have been linked to raw pet food and raw milk given to pets. The USDA, or the United States Department of Agriculture, has actually set up a national milk testing strategy to facilitate surveillance of bird flu in the national milk supply, because we know it's there. This testing strategy has been rolling out since the beginning of December. And while there has so far been no food to human transmission of bird flu, I have concerns about ingesting products where I know there's a virus in it. The transmission from food to cats make this kind of pathway even more concerning. If this is a mechanism that exists in another species, it's likely that this can also occur in humans. Since a toddler's diet is 90% milk, this can be a huge concern for kids. So it's really, really important that milk is pasteurized to help protect your family. This includes not only milk, but all dairy products such as cheese, creams, and butters. Make sure that you're checking labels and ingredients to see if the products you're bringing home are safe to consume. Under the ingredient list, it will typically say, quote, cultured pasteurized milk. If it just says cultured milk, then it's typically not pasteurized. Last episode, we also talked about the pasteurization of eggs. Not all eggs sold in the U.S. are pasteurized. In fact, less than 3% of eggs sold in the shell are pasteurized. Egg products sold in cartons, such as egg whites, typically are pasteurized. If you're buying unpasteurized eggs, it's really important to make sure that the egg is thoroughly cooked. This is not the time for that lovely poached egg with that runny yolk. It's not the time for cookie dough or meringues or chocolate mousse, things that include raw eggs or raw egg whites. Bird flu has really strongly affected poultry in every single state across the U.S. So to stay safe, it's really important to make sure that your eggs are either pasteurized or fully cooked in order to kill the virus. And on that note, I wanted to talk really quickly about freeze drying. Lots of people think that freeze drying might be an alternative to pasteurization in order to make foods safer. Unfortunately, freezing foods is a really good way to preserve viruses rather than killing them. In fact, it's so good at preserving viruses that this is the technique that scientists use to keep their viruses in their lab for a period of time to be able to study them at a later date.
It's also how you can keep dinosaur embryos preserved for hundreds of years, leading to an animal theme park of cloned dinosaurs.
So freeze-dried raw foods are not any safer than raw foods, and freeze-drying foods is not an alternative to pasteurization. And those are my overall updates for bird flu today. So I just wanted to end today with a reminder on ways to keep your family safe, especially when there are still so many unknowns. So the first is to avoid direct contacts with birds, poultry, and cattle when possible. This is not the time to visit the petting zoo. It's not the time for a field trip to the farm. The second is to avoid raw food products. We recommend buying pasteurized products, including milk, cheeses, and eggs. This includes food for your pets. It's not the time to be eating raw meat. It's not the time to be eating raw milk. The third is to cook your food thoroughly. No runny eggs, no raw eggs if the eggs are not pasteurized. The fourth, which is really important, is to make sure to get your annual flu shot. Having simultaneous bird flu and traditional flu infections at the same time could lead to some really dangerous mutations in the virus or a super virus of sorts. And that might be how we see the first bird flu viruses being able to spread from human to human. And the last thing is to stay informed as things evolve, and they can change rapidly, as we've seen over the past few weeks. The first place I recommend is the CDC website. They update their website daily with new case reports, new testing statistics, and ways to keep your family safe. Their website is cdc.gov/bird-flu. We'll put that in our show notes. The second website I recommend is the USDA website. They have a lot of information about outbreak in cattle and testing in raw milk. Their website URL is longer, so we can post that on all our socials. The third is your local Department of Health, whether it's your state Department of Health or your like local city county Department of Health. They'll have more information about what's happening near you and what you should be concerned or not concerned about in the area in which you live. And last, we'll keep you updated right here on this podcast as things evolve. That's all I have for today. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Dr. Alicia Rowland. Dr. Stephanie Rowland will be back next week. This has been Rowland Forward, the podcast to help you understand the evolving health news. You can like or subscribe to our podcast on all the traditional platforms. If you have any questions or comments or topics you'd like us to cover, you can always reach us at Rowland Forward Show. That's R-O-L-I-N, Forward Show at gmail.com. Until next time.
My sister, Dr. Stephanie Rowland, is off Gavilet. Okay, we're going to restart. Spike, spike, spike. Spike, spike, spike. This seems like it's working. This is promising.